brother. What's up?
This is a hey, big party, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can dig it.
Stop right on.
Hey, man, what's your name?
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Luke. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Earl. How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing fine, man. I see you got that stuff growing under your chin. It's getting to be pretty pretty good.
I cleaned it up a little bit because, you know, it was Mother's Day yesterday. So I went home, saw the mom. She likes a more well-kept beard on her. She's got three sons. We all got to see her yesterday. And she did kind of note, though, it was a little more untamed than normal.
So how long are you going to let it grow?
I don't know. It just started happening.
Didn't just start happening.
The start of the process of growing it out. I didn't intentionally do it. It just all of a sudden was a little bit longer. And
so you didn't intentionally do it. You just didn't cut it.
Right. It wasn't a conscious decision. It was just I looked in the mirror one morning and I was like, it's looking a little bit more scraggly.
growing it out
a little bit.
It looks good, man. You know,
appreciate that.
When you look at, as I look at guys today with these beards, and you know, I mean, they really have some really nice beards. It takes a lot of work, right?
We've got some nice beards on the production team here too, across Civic Media. We got Mr. Greg Bach. He's got a fantastic beard. He's in the other room right now. But Todd Michaels on our production team as well. He's excellent beard. So I don't even hold really a match to those guys, but I'm trying to do my part.
Well, so what it is, you know, it's something because if you went back 5 years ago, people weren't wearing beards. Not to the degree, maybe a little bit longer than that. But I clearly remember times when beards were kind of apropos, man.
Yeah.
People weren't wearing them.
See, fun fact, I've never seen my father with a clean-shaved face.
Oh, I'm talking about a full beard.
One
thing to have some hair under your chin, like I have, but a full-fledged beard is something altogether different.
Yeah, it's definitely, it has become more of a art. And a lifestyle for some people in recent years. I do agree with that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, man, got a lot to talk about this morning. So you said you had a great Mother's Day.
Yeah. How was yours?
Great, man. I was on a grill, man. I was on the grill most of the day and had forgotten. I hadn't done that in a while. And so kind of felt good, man. 84 degrees.
Yeah, it was a hot one. We were outside enjoying the weather. The dogs were running around like crazy. They were exhausted, hanging out with the nieces and nephews. My mom was having a good day.
Well, yeah, but 84 degrees out of nowhere, right? It's one thing if you're used to having that weather and that temperature, and it's kind of, you know, incrementally gotten to be 84, but
yeah.
Out of the clear blue, 84.
Yeah, it was a cool morning yesterday.
Yeah.
It warmed up quickly.
Yeah.
Like it came fast. And I was expecting some storms. So we got a little, you know, here and there was some scattered stuff, but I was expecting big storms with how hot it got so
quickly.
Look,
man, it's only, well, I shouldn't say only because we're almost in the middle of this year already.
Yeah, it's coming up fast. But 2024 is flying by.
Yeah, but 84 degrees by May 12th is way ahead of where, you know, we should normally be.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a great time, great weather, you know. Savor it because in the next few days, we'll be back in the 40s later on this evening.
Oh, yeah.
That's just mind-boggling, man.
Yeah, the missus wants to keep going with the gardening, and she's looking at those low temperatures every single day because she's like, I can't quite put them outside yet. So she's watching those temperatures like a hawk.
You can put them out. You know, it's safe. It's safe to plant anything now, man. Well, you know, it's not going to drop Well, I shouldn't say.
Yeah, I was gonna say you gotta be careful. We've been keeping an eye on it, but traditionally speaking, you wait till after Mother's Day, so that's past now. So we've got a number of the seedlings that we started that will probably get into the garden either tonight if the weather cooperates, or we'll get them in the garden as soon as we can this week.
So look, man, I got a lot to talk about this morning. Can you believe it? I've got a lot to talk about. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Trust you had a great weekend. Certainly, there's a lot to talk about. There's always a lot to talk about. You know, I'm going to talk about, you know, war and how young people, you know, from Luke's generation, don't see this thing the way my generation sees it. And young people who don't want to see the treasures of this nation spent on war. They just kind of, well, you're a young man, you can speak for yourself. Your generation, the more I read about it and the more I talk with young people, I spent some time down at the encampment at UWM in Milwaukee, talking to young people, right? Young college students who get dismissed constantly and people who say they don't know what they're talking about, right? They're kids. Let's dismiss them because they're kids.
Yeah, that's how most conversations go about any, but that's a tale as old as time. That's not just something new.
But they're not kids.
No, they're young adults.
And so they know why they're saying and doing the things that they do. And it's why I had, you know, one of the young men on, and I'm going to continue to have dialogue with young people because it's your world. I keep telling people it's not my world anymore. And people from my generation had better realize that, you know, we're on the other side of this thing. And I'm not saying you totally dismiss the wisdom of the elders. I created a nonprofit called Voices of the Elders. And because I think the value of the elders in a society, not just this society, but all societies, have their place. And so, you know, it's certainly more than reasonable that we don't dismiss those who have already, you know, gone through you know, the trials and tribulations. Oh yeah, by the way, did I say it's a Motown Monday? We're gonna do the Motown Monday thing as always. But we're gonna talk a little bit about that. We're gonna talk a little bit about drinking, man. And why, you know, in a society that we keep encouraging people to drink more and more and more. And you know, when you have people and you encourage people at very young ages to drink. You know, I remember, man, as a very young boy, loving to watch the 1940s cowboy movies. And I still, to this day, I have an affinity for watching those old cowboy movies. Hey, bartender, lead a bottle. You know, never mind it's 9 o'clock in the morning, right?
yeah.
You know, but just the affinity for encouraging people to drink. And there's so many people in the society who cannot handle it. And it's kind of destroyed their lives. And we don't have the dialogue and conversations that we should have about that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about hospitals, man. And, you know, I was at one of my doctor's offices the other day. And man, the hospital looks like, man, it's unbelievable. It's beautiful. And they're building more and more and more and more, and it's taking up more and more space, and the hospitals are absolutely gorgeous. Well, guess what? They don't want you in them. They would rather have you stay at home.
Well, it depends on what kind of insurance you got.
Well,
they'll keep some people, right? You notice those hospitals aren't empty, Earl. There's plenty of people there.
Well, we're going to talk about it because there clearly is something going on where they continue to build these mausoleums called hospitals. And they don't want you spending time. I know plenty. I got a buddy who had two hip replacements in the last 4 months. He spent one night each time in the hospital. And the reason it's so important is as the baby boomers age and are going to require more, they're saying, we don't want you here. Okay, we've got to look at our bottom line. And I'm asking the question, okay, well, if you're looking at your bottom line, why do you keep building these mausoleums up? And if your bottom line is that you got to worry about the cost of it and, you know, and paying the freight, why do you keep building? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about degrees, you know. We're going to talk about degrees, man. You know, people have all these degrees.
It's graduation time.
It's
the time to be talking about it.
It's graduation time.
People are walking across stages across the country accepting those degrees.
High schools and grandparents and parents, children, are getting ready to go to college, colleges. There's a feeder system to the universities that is endless. As long as they're young people, they're going to be feeder systems to universities. Luke and I were talking earlier. 31% of the American people have degrees. I thought it was higher.
I thought it was lower.
But 31% have degrees, and yet they continue to feed these universities, and less people are being able to make it off of their degrees. Something's got to happen. Got to have the conversation. We'll be having that this morning and much, much more on the Earl Ingram Show. It's good to have Luke and see Luke around. I don't get to see you that much, man.
Hey, I've been coming around more this year, though, than any time. Calvin's taking some time off. That's the nice thing. So he's taking today off.
Well-deserved.
Well-earned.
All right. So 844-967-2789 is the number. Get ready. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's a Motown Monday. All right. Welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. So, Luke, I got to thinking about all of this conversation about people who owe exorbitant amounts of debt for their college degrees. And there's so many people who are saying, hey, wait a minute. Nobody twisted your arm and made you decide to, and I'm not talking about me. I'm just speaking about, you know, to pursue a college degree, and you incurred that debt on your own. Why is it my responsibility to help you pay for that? What would you say to people who say that? Would you understand their feelings?
I can see some side of that argument. I'm on the younger end of the millennial generation, so I'm not Gen Z that you see on college campuses now.
Right.
But as a end of the millennial generation, I can tell you that, yes, nobody came and physically twisted my arm. But the mindset going through public schools still, but in a well-off area of Milwaukee County. But the public schools were, the mindset was, you go to college. Nobody twisted our arms forcing us to go to college, but there was a social pressure to, starting from like freshman year, it was constantly, you got to stay focused in high school. You got to have a good start in freshman year because you want to get into a good college. And even some, myself included, we would have our parents, our guidance counselors, our teachers telling us in middle school to start taking foreign language classes then, because the expectation was if you started taking a foreign language earlier, you would have better chances at getting into a good college. And so there was societal pressure from like 12 years old. The expectation was you finish high school, get your high school diploma, and you go to college. And so it's not that anybody twisted arms or coerced us to go, but a lot of people my age, it was just the assumption that when you finish high school, you go to college. And now there's great, there's so many more paths that you can do than just that. There's the trades. Plenty of my classmates in high school went and signed up to serve in the armed forces and the different military branches. Some people took gap years, or they went right into a career that did not need a college degree or an apprenticeship. They just went and worked for a family business or something else that they had ties to that they knew that they were going to do after graduation. But for a large portion of the people my age, expectation was when you finish high school, you went to college. And now not everybody went knowing what they were going to do. I went going in for biology degree, Earl. Like I was going to college for the sciences. I want to be a marine biologist. And quickly on campus, I realized that's not what I want to do. And I went more into the social sciences. And
so all, you know, It didn't just start with your generation as far as people, you know, kind of guiding people to go to universities and go to college. The explosion of universities across this nation, again, didn't just start. They certainly, once industry left this nation, for the most part, college certainly was always, if you want a good job, And at the time, America was number one in industry and in all sorts of things. People could take a college degree and go into industry and in a starting position with a bachelor's degree in the major corporations that used to be here, and for 30 years have one job and a career.
Mm-hmm.
And all that was required is that you had a degree. Didn't matter what the degree was in. So why am I saying all that? One of the reasons, let me read a couple of these texts before I even, you know, move forward. These kids are directed. The SATs, getting to proper education to get the best job, to do the best for yourself, kind of a fantasy at this point. And that's from Brendan. Tony, we had a vocational program in my high school that were for mechanics, construction, and people were mocked for going there because the dumb kids went there. I think they all make decent money now. I can say to you, Tony, that those people who went into tech and trade schools will make more money than most of the people who went to, you know, regular colleges, and the fact of the matter is they wind up debt-free. Just a fact.
Yeah.
You know, the trades clearly, and I've said it over and over and over, the trades are an area that is forever growing because they'll never outsource trades jobs, Luke.
No, you can't. You need an electrician in your neighborhood when you have electric problems. Like It's just the fact.
A carpenter.
Yeah.
You're going to always need those people. Not to mention, they make as much money on the side, or if not more, as they do from their regular job. Anyway.
We don't talk about that part, though. That's on the side.
I know. 844-967-2789 is the number. 20 most useless college degrees. I mean, as I was looking at this, I was kind of surprised, man. Advertising, you know?
That's because I don't. If you're good at advertising, I don't know if you need a degree to tell you're good at it.
Well, it used to be you would have to have one to get into.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Right? Don't forget, we live in a society that going back, if you didn't have a degree, the door would not be open for you, whether you had the talent or not. And so it was a prerequisite that you had to have a degree. Anthropology and archaeology. I don't know. You know, it certainly sounds romantic.
I took a couple anthro classes when I was on campus, but I could never see myself getting a degree in it. They were always interesting.
Yeah, well, I'm sure people would dream of going to Africa or going
Indiana Jones. They want to be Indiana Jones.
Yeah, and doing that, that's an interesting, you know, possibility. But the chances of you being able to make that into a moneymaker for yourself. And
to make it into a living, that's the hard part, yeah.
And I guarantee you, across this nation, there are a lot of people in anthropology and archaeology classes. 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That means Motown Mondays on the Earl Ingram Show. I'm here with Luke and you. 844-967-2789. Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's good to have Luke, in the captain's chair. Always good to see you, my friend.
Always a blast, Earl.
You know, we were talking about before we went to break, man, about career paths. And I was running down some of the top 20, well, not the top 20, but 20 areas where, you know, the least, they're actually titled Most Useless Degrees of 2024. and so we talked about anthropology and archaeology, art history. What surprised me was communications, that it would be listed.
That's communications is a big catch-all degree. So I think there's some people that will go and get a communications degree and then not use it for communications. Like they'll go about other fields, but it's like a, not to say it's a general studies kind of degree, but in my understanding of a lot of people that go in and are comms majors, communications majors, they don't necessarily go into quote, there's not a field that's communications. So,
computer science.
Really?
Yeah.
That's on that list.
Pursuing a computer science degree may appear to be a promising path towards a thriving career post-graduation. However, like many of the most useless college degrees, computer science is a challenging degree to use after you graduate. This is because a general computer science degree is broad, just like a degree in communications. Some students enter computer science to get a job in coding, information technology, or cybersecurity. However, there are specific programs for these career paths that look much better on a resume. You know, upon completing a computer science degree, you might find yourself uncertain about the next steps to take. Let's go here. Creative writing. Numerous students are inspired by television series such as NCIS, Criminal Minds, to pursue studies in the criminal justice sector. Actors make jobs like detectives and special agents seem attractive and fun. Nonetheless, the truth about these careers is that they are not only perilous, but also quite scary. That's criminal justice.
Yeah. I could see the Hollywood kind of romanticizing those, and people watch being big fans of those shows, wanting to go get that kind of degree, and then not really understanding fully what kind of work you would go into with a degree like that.
Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. How you doing, man?
I'm always good. I love me.
Well, yeah.
But you were saying something earlier about the counselors in high school. When I was in high school and we were talking to them about going to college, they laughed at us. So I'm from Detroit. But the point is, they felt like, well, you know, you're going to spend the next 30 years in a factory, so why waste your time going to college? And the other part about what you were talking about earlier about the young people protesting, if anybody has a right to protest, it should be them, because in the event that another police action or what y'all call a war starts, who are they going to send to fight? The young people. So they should have a right to talk about what may happen. And when we got sent to Vietnam and all those places, we were all in our early 20s, many of them just coming out of high school. If anybody has a right to protest, they do.
Man, you know, I can't. How can I disagree with that? Wars are for young people. They send young people off to fight in wars, and yet, you know, we don't want to give them what is clearly their perspective and their view on things. Again, it's always the old men who send the young people off to fight. Hey, Al, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Number eight, Luke, is culinary arts. And I know you...
That's not a useless...
Culinary arts may teach students how to cook and make their food look presentable, but it doesn't teach them many skills beyond this. A degree may look good on a resume if you're interested in pursuing a job as a cook or chef after college, but any other career will consider your training useless.
See, I disagree with that reaction of culinary. Anybody that can operate and effectively work in a kitchen, I think those are transferable skills that can apply to other jobs too.
To what?
Showing up on time.
That's
the first part. Showing up on time, timely. Like,
well, you don't need a degree for that.
No, but I'm saying the what you learn in the culinary world can be applied to other traits.
Yeah,
and I think that the durability and the tenacity that chefs and cooks have in kitchens. Like, if you can work in a kitchen successfully, that's one of the most high stress environments that I've ever known.
Do you have to pay tens of thousands of dollars to go into college?
No, but I also don't know how much one of those degrees costs, I guess.
Okay, education. At first, this may seem like a highly useful degree. Teaching children is useful, right? However, many who enter the field quickly find it isn't useful as it sounds. Education majors must declare a specialty, such as early childhood, special education, or secondary education. Entrepreneurship. A degree in entrepreneurship may sound great for those looking to start a business someday. However, the degree by itself is one of the most useless degrees. This is because students can get all the education they want, but without hands-on business experience, their learning will hardly mean a thing. And this is what I was talking about, Luke, when back in, you know, the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, when corporations were here in this country and industry was here, a person could get a bachelor's degree and then at 21 years old go into a major industry and then on the job they would open the door for you, and then 30 years later you could climb that corporate ladder that were in major corporations like the auto industry and others. And so you didn't have to, you know, go through the kinds of things. Here's another one: ethics and civilization studies, fashion design, film, video, and photographic arts, languages. You think that languages would be? You would think that that would be something.
I feel like that's a very useful degree, but I don't know if it's necessarily, again, as useful in the application of work at like a career in languages. My sister has a degree in Spanish. She paired it with a nursing degree, though. So it's not just Spanish, but she's fluent. So when she's working in hospitals here in Milwaukee, she was the nurse that would then be relied upon for any language barriers with Spanish-speaking patients.
Yeah, so she's got two degrees.
Yes.
Music.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Philosophy.
Music's so hard because... like, let's not pretend like we don't have musicians and that we rely on musicians for art, but it's so competitive. So it's such a difficult industry to break through it.
Well, you know, you really don't need musicians anymore with the technology.
Stop it.
Well, I'm just going by what I see. I see that you can create music with computers and the musicians themselves.
You can create things that sound like music with those computers, but that's not making music. You still need a, like, music is still such a fine art.
It's so Cap. Luke, the people who are making money in the business, and they don't believe you need as many musicians anymore because that's what they do. They eliminate musicians and they're able to do this thing through technology and computers.
No computer is ever going to replace an orchestra. You still want to go to the orchestra.
No. I'm not saying you don't want to go and hear the orchestra or see the orchestra. But when records are being made, I guess they still call them records or whatever they are.
Yeah.
Back in my day, we're doing Motown Monday. On Motown Monday, There were musicians. All of it was musicians. It's not that way today. There aren't as many musicians doing that. But anyway, let's
get back to the list.
Philosophy.
That's a tough one to make a living on.
Psychology. And yet the universities are full of people in those courses and classes, right?
Yes, there's psych majors. When I was in school, that was a pretty common one. When people were not quite certain of what they wanted to go for, they kind of landed on a psych major.
Studio arts and fine arts, theater arts, travel and tourism. So here's what they're saying, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because you're a guy who's gone through that. So when you and your child or your grandchild, as they graduate now and are off to universities to get their degrees, it's critically important that you understand and that they understand what they're going to school for. Is it safe to say that? More so now than ever?
I would think it really depends on the person, Earl. Because both my parents are nurses. Now retired, but they went into the nursing field. So they got degrees in nursing, and very much like you said, well, you're of a generation and an age, and they're not too far behind you, of you get a degree and you go work in that career. And so when my sister got a nursing degree, it made sense for my parents because they're like, okay, she's just going to be a nurse for that. That it's going to be her career and she can find work wherever she needs to be. When my brother got a chemical engineering degree, they were like, okay, he's going to be a chemical engineer. And then I came along and I got a political science degree and they're like, what are you going to do with that? And I guess I was never concerned about needing that direct A to B link, like get this degree, go work in that field. That was to me, I just never needed it. I saw the nexus of getting a political science degree and being able to work in many different things. I've worked on campaigns. I've worked in communications. I work for nonprofits. Like I've adapted it to be what I've needed to be.
There are so many young people today who say they've gotten their degree. They can't afford to make enough money to get out of their parents' houses. They're struggling to pay off the college debt. And so they have the degree, but they're not making enough money to even survive.
I don't think that's all the degree's fault, though. There's so many different economic factors that go into that, Earl, that I think, yes, sometimes it is. You went for a degree that's not going to be super useful, but the concentration of wealth, where we've seen these wealthiest corporations not pay their fair share, and we've seen a consolidation of wealth, and at the same time, young people have even less of a share of the economy and economic buying power that they've ever had before. The housing crisis is crunching numbers to make housing even more costly than it's ever been before. So it's not just the degrees. There's a lot of different things at play against these young people coming out of school.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show on a Motown Monday. Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go to Julie from Franklin. Good morning to you, Julie. How you doing?
Oh, hi. Good morning. So I don't know what you guys first started talking about, but I caught the degree.
So let me tell you, it was talking about, you know, the 20 degrees that are listed as the most useless degrees today. And one of the reasons that, you know, I wanted to have the discussion is we're talking about all these students who owe all this debt and the jobs that they're getting and they can't pay. They're not making enough money to get out of their parents' home. So that's what I was talking about.
Okay, so as far as the degree, as far as college, I think, you know, unless you know you want to be a doctor or, you know, a lawyer or a specific career that you know you want to get into, I think what employers are looking for is someone that, like my husband got a music degree, and he's, you know, never really worked in music. He's sales and marketing. So, but I think what they look for is the fact that this 22-year-old went to college and was responsible enough to make it to classes, to, you know, learn some stuff, and make it through and graduate. And I think the problem with colleges is they're just way too expensive. I don't know how we fix that, but they've just gotten ridiculous. I don't necessarily think everybody needs a college degree, obviously, but I think you do, when you go to college, you do get, you're still going to probably get in on an entry-level position, but I do think you've got one step above someone that maybe didn't go to college because you showed that you stuck with something for 4 years and you made it.
So I will say this, Julie, in your day and in my day, it didn't matter what it was. It could be, you know, a fast food manager, but they requested college degrees. Today, that's not the case. They're not saying that you need to have that college degree as much in entry level because, you know, the sheer numbers of people who are looking for jobs and opportunities coming out with college degrees, you know, people, many of them are struggling and they don't want to be the fast food manager at Wendy's. That's not where they want to start. They have tremendous amounts of debt. And you know, I think once you graduate, Luke, correct me, if you owe some debt, they don't say, well, we'll wait till you get on your feet. They kind of want you to start paying immediately.
Yeah, right? I think there's about a six to nine month period, I believe, after graduation. And then after that, that's typically when the loan payments begin. So you've got roughly until, it's within the first year, I know that, but I think it's roughly about 6 months after graduating is when most loans you have to start paying on.
So, Julie, I understand your point. And I do think that there was a time when they said, you know, most of these corporations and people wanted people to have a college degree before they would even allow them to come into the companies. But I've talked with business people now who aren't seeing it that way. I'm not saying that people shouldn't go to college. You know, 31% of the American people have degrees. And so there's clearly something to it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's going to college is also you got to pay for it. So
yeah,
you have to know that you got to pay for it. So,
yeah.
You know, I know. I don't know how you fix it.
Well,
they are way too expensive.
Yeah, and one of the things you said at the onset was just too expensive. And no question whatsoever, it's too expensive. But I was talking about the hospitals, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But universities, if you know, they aren't exactly, you know, dungeons. And many universities, and they erect these beautiful buildings and all those kinds of things, and all those things cost money. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it, Julie. Let's go to Karina. Hey, good morning to you, Karina from Milwaukee. How you doing? Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl. You know what? I went through college in Russia, and I went through college in America. So what I can tell you, the main difference is that before we get in college in Russia, even to the point of high school, through kindergarten, starting about 5 years old, every year, we would go through specific questioning, created to figure it out what this person is good at. And in terms of abilities and talents and gifts and desires all together. And then I tell you what happened to me. By eighth grade, they said that I'm going to be the best in my abilities as a teacher, which I completely rejected. I said, I don't want to be a teacher. I hate to be teaching somebody. I'm not good at it. I don't have patience. They put me in the daycare program because last 2 years of school, one day you spent somewhere where you learned a trade. And after 2 years, I had a daycare teacher assistant diploma. Roll forward, I'm in America. The first job I get is the daycare. And then my friend recommends me as a teacher for Sandra Brown College. And in a matter of a year, I become a chair.
Hey, Karina, hang on. 844-967-2789. The rest of you, hang on. You're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.